Okay, have you ever been in that situation? You walk in the door, maybe glance at your phone, or there's a note stuck on the fridge, and you instantly know something important happened while you were out. Someone managed to pass on that crucial info.
Right. Or sometimes, maybe not so well, and you're just left completely confused.
Exactly. And that gap, that moment where you didn't connect directly, that's really where the art of message writing comes in, isn't it?
It really is. It's often the unsung hero of clear communication. A lot hinges on that little note.
Absolutely. And that's our focus today. Ring, ring, it's message time.
We're diving into chapter 17 from our material.
Yeah.
Now, at first glance, it might seem pretty straightforward, just, how to write a note. But actually, if you're aiming to be what the source calls a brilliant communicator, it really unpacks some key ideas about clarity and efficiency in just everyday stuff.
It's really about using these short interactions to stop misunderstandings before they start, not just passing on facts.
Yeah. It's a skill we probably all think we have down, but there are these subtle points, these efficiencies we often miss.
Yeah, definitely. So our mission today really is to get under the skin of writing these short, clear messages effectively.
Okay.
We want to make sure that you, when you get a message, know exactly what's needed. No guesswork, even if you couldn't talk to the person directly. Think of this as a bit of a shortcut, maybe, to leveling up that everyday communication skill, because getting it right makes a huge difference.
It's less about just the mechanics, like the writing itself, and more about the thinking behind it.
How so?
Well, how to boil things down to what's necessary, thinking ahead about what the other person needs to know, and maybe answering their questions before they even ask them, all in that short format.
Okay, I like that. So we're going to define what makes a message really work. We'll explore the essential structure, not just as rules, but like a framework for being clear. We'll highlight the core principles for making an impact and then look at some actual examples that, really nail it. We're basically recapping the whole chapter, pulling out those really important bits that help you go from just okay to brilliant communication.
Sounds good.
So let's start right at the beginning. What is a message in this context? When we're talking about brilliant communication, it's more than just a quick scribble, right?
Oh, definitely. I mean, the material defines it simply, a short piece of writing to pass on info when you can't talk directly.
Okay.
But a brilliant message, that's got an extra layer. It's like a proactive bridge for information. It's
Yeah.
designed to be so clear and self-contained that it sort of anticipates questions.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, cuts down on the need for follow-up. But think of it like a tiny note carrying like maximum impact with zero confusion.
I can totally relate to needing that. We all know someone, maybe let's call him Alex, who means well, but his messages, they leave you guessing. Like you get a text that just says, call me important or meeting moved.
And that's exactly the issue, isn't it? Those messages actually create more work for you. You
Right.
have to figure it out. Contrast that with a message that clearly says who called, what they needed, and crucially, what you need to do about it, if anything. That's the kind of proactive clarity we're talking about.
So it's making the message do the heavy lifting so the person receiving it doesn't have to.
Precisely.
It makes me think of all those times someone answers the phone for you or a visitor drops by when you're out.
Yeah.
If that message isn't spot on, you're just left with like half the story, bits and pieces.
And the cost of that missing info can be bigger than we think. Missed deadlines, appointments needing rescheduling, or just the mental effort of trying to figure out vague instructions.
Sure.
So a brilliant message isn't just about passing info, it's about keeping things efficient and reducing that friction in our daily lives.
Okay, so now we know why it's important. Let's get into the how.
Yeah.
The material lays out this clear anatomy of a message, and it frames it not just as like a list of things you could include, but as essential parts for effective communication.
Yeah, and this structured approach is really powerful because it makes clarity systematic. It takes out the guesswork. It ensures those critical bits of information are not only there, but they're in a predictable order, easy to find.
Okay, let's break it down then. First up, the date. Seems obvious, right? Put the date.
Right.
But what's maybe a common slip up even experienced people make with the date, and why is it really so important?
It does sound basic, doesn't it? But the trap isn't always forgetting the date. Sometimes it's being a bit vague about which date. Is it when you wrote the message or when the information in it becomes relevant?
Oh, okay.
For a brilliant communicator, the date isn't just a timestamp. It provides crucial context. It establishes how immediate or urgent something is. If our friend Alex writes, meeting moved 10:25, but I'm reading it on the 26th.
Right.
I'm wondering if the message is old news or if I've already missed it.
Good point. It sets the time frame. Okay, and then we have time. Again, seems simple, but what's the deeper meaning here? What does the time really tell us beyond just the hour?
Well, the time the message was received is critical. It tells you how fresh the information is and helps you gauge, you know, how quickly you might need to respond. Mm. If someone leaves a message saying, your flight is delayed, knowing if that came in at, say, 7 a.m. versus 7 p.m. totally changes what I do next.
Yeah, absolutely.
A brilliant message gives the recipient that immediate sense of the message's shelf life. Is this red hot urgent or can it wait a bit?
Got it. Okay, next, the salutation, like dear Rhea or dear mother. What's the strategic value in just that simple greeting?
It really comes down to clarity of intent and also respect. You know, in our world of quick, sometimes impersonal digital messages, a proper salutation immediately personalizes it.
True.
It clearly states who the message is for.
Yeah.
Adjective Alex just wrote, meeting at 3. Who's that for? Me. The whole team.
Yeah. Leaves you wondering.
Exactly. So it sets a polite, respectful tone right from the start, signaling this info is specifically for you.
Okay. That makes sense. Then we hit the core, the body. Yeah. This is where the actual information lives. The example was, your mother called. She will pick you up at 5:30 instead of 4 p.m. in the auditorium. How does a brilliant message handle this part?
The body is where you have to be concise, but also comprehensive. It's a bit of a tightrope walk.
Mm-hmm.
You need all the crucial bits, who, what, when, where, why, and any action needed, but without any extra words. What's great about that example is how efficiently it delivers the change of plan, the new time, the new place, leaving zero room for doubt. It's basically the antidote to Alex's vague meaning moved.
Totally. And finally, the writer's name. Why is this often forgotten, maybe, but so important?
It's about accountability, really, and follow-up. It tells the recipient, okay, this is the person who took down this information.
Right.
If Rhea needs more details about her mom's call, she knows exactly who to ask. Ananya. Without that name, the message is sort of orphaned.
Yeah, like a message in a bottle.
Exactly. And finding out more becomes this frustrating detective job. So this whole structured format, it isn't just about being formal. It's about engineering clarity and respecting the other person's time and their need to understand quickly.
Okay, so we've got the structure down. Now let's dig into the core principles that take a message from just, okay, well-formatted to truly brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
These aren't just nice-to-haves, right? They're kind of the rules that make the message really work.
Yeah, think of these as the guiding stars. They help you move from just passing on information to making sure it's actually understood and acted on properly.
First up, and this one is flagged as really critical, indirect speech. The material basically shouts, no quotation marks. Why is that such a hard and fast rule?
This is a super common mistake, and it's really about streamlining things. When you're relaying information, you're the messenger, right? Not a court reporter.
Okay.
Using direct quotes in a quick note just adds unnecessary formality. It can clutter things up.
Yeah.
And more importantly, it might imply you're quoting someone word for word, which maybe didn't happen. Using indirect speech, like she said she would pick you up instead of she said, I will pick you up, keeps it concise. It signals you're giving the gist of the info, not necessarily the exact phrasing. It helps avoid misreading tone or intent, too.
That's a really key distinction, especially for quick notes. Okay, next principle, tone. The emphasis is on keeping it polite and respectful. How does the tone affect how well a message works, even a short one?
Tone is like the background music of the message. It communicates intent silently.
Mm-hmm.
A polite and respectful tone helps ensure the message is received well, that the information is taken seriously. If a tone comes across as too casual or maybe abrupt, even if you didn't mean it, the person might dismiss how important it is or just feel a bit disrespected. It's about making sure the information is the main thing, not how the messenger sounded or seemed to sound.
Right. Keep the focus on the facts. Then, clarity. The material really pushes for short, clear sentences to avoid confusion and information overload. Seems obvious, but where do people tend to trip up here?
Well, the biggest enemy of a quick message often isn't missing information. It's myth information that comes from ambiguity.
Okay.
People go wrong when they try to stuff too much into one sentence, maybe. Or they use vague words like he or it when it's not clear who or what they mean.
Mm-hmm.
Just one misplaced comma or a sentence trying to do too many things can send someone off in the wrong direction entirely. Think about the hassle and unclear instruction causes, even in a simple note.
Yeah, the knock-on effects.
Exactly. Stakes can be higher than we think. A brilliant communicator makes every word count. They make sure each sentence carries just one clear idea.
Okay. And the last principle, attribution. Remembering to mention who left the message. So this is separate from the writer's name at the end. Why is knowing who started the contact so important?
It completes the loop, really. Knowing who left the message, as distinct from who wrote it down, gives essential context. Was it a family member, a colleague, a client calling? This lets the recipient immediately figure out the priority and how they should follow up. If Alex just writes, "Someone called about the report," well,
yeah, useless.
Right, was that someone, the CEO, or a random sales call? A brilliant message gives the recipient all that context they need to act decisively. So all these principles together, they ensure the message isn't just sent, but it's truly understood and can be acted upon in the right way.
Right, that makes perfect sense. Okay, so we've got the framework, we've got the guiding principles. Let's see them in action. We've got a couple of real-world examples from the material.
Mm-hmm.
This really helps cement how all these bits fit together to make, you know, a seamless, brilliant communication.
Yeah, these examples are great because they show exactly how applying these ideas translates into really effective messages in just normal, everyday situations.
Okay, first one is a phone call. Situation. You received a call from your friend's father while your friend was in class. This is peak Alex territory, right? He'd just write, "Your dad called."
Exactly. Or maybe just "dad called."
Yeah. But the brilliant message reads, 16 July 2025.
11:30 a.m.
Yeah.
"Dear Nitya, your father called while you were in class. He said he'll be picking you up from school today at 1:30 p.m. instead of your usual time. He asked you to wait at the main gate. Your father called while you were in class. He said he'll be picking you up from school today at 1, Anusha."
See, that's just a masterclass in clarity, isn't it?
Totally.
Notice how it pulls in everything we talked about. Date and time are precise. Clear recipient. That vital attribution, it was Nitya's father who called. And the body is comprehensive, but uses polite indirect speech.
Right.
There's no way Nitya is left wondering who called, when are they coming, where should I wait? Anusha, the writer, has given her a complete action plan. No ambiguity.
It really does tick all the boxes. It's not just following a checklist. It's like Anusha thought ahead about Nitya's potential questions and answered them right there.
Exactly.
Okay, second example, a guest at home situation. Your aunt visited, but your mother was out and you wrote a message for her.
Another common scenario.
Yep. Here's the brilliant message. 20 July 2025.
4 and 5 p.m. "Dear mother, Aunt Shalini visited today while you're out. She came to invite us to Rishi's birthday party on 22nd July at 6 p.m. at her home. She also brought some sweets for us. And Shalini visited today while you were out. She came to invite us to Rishi's birthday party on 22nd July at 6. Love, Aunt Shalini visited today while you were out. She came to invite us to Rishi's birthday party on 22nd July at 6.
Rhea, again, you see the full structure. But what's really good here is how Rhea anticipates everything her mother would need to know about that invitation.
Mm-hmm.
Who visited Aunt Shalini, the specific event, Rishi's party, the date, the time, and the location of the party, and even that nice little detail about the sweets.
Yeah, that's a nice touch.
It's comprehensive, but it's not long-winded. It shows how thoughtful communication can also be really efficient. It's worlds away from Alex's version, which would probably be anti-stopped by.
Huh. Yeah, probably. What really stands out to me in that one is how smoothly Rhea packs in multiple key pieces of info. You know, the visit itself, the invitation, all the party details and the sweets all fitting neatly into that clear structure.
It really is brilliant communication. Maximum information, minimum fuss.
It is. It nails that balance of being thorough without rambling, making sure every crucial detail the recipient needs is right there, easy to find.
Exactly. Making it easy for them.
So we've covered the what, the why, the how, and seen some great examples. Now, the material also mentions some useful practice activities.
Mm-hmm. Those are important.
Yeah, like filling in blanks in messages, completing partial messages, even spotting errors in format or speech type. It highlights common mistakes, like using direct quotes when you shouldn't.
And those exercises are key, really, for building that muscle memory,
yep.
Getting the format right automatically, spotting those little errors that can cause confusion. The material also connects this to wider communication skills, too, like speaking and listening.
Right. So pulling it all together for you, the listener, the material gives us a kind of mental checklist. 4 core assessment points to see if you've really grasped these skills.
Mm-hmm.
And internalizing these doesn't just make writing messages easier. It makes it effortless and frankly, brilliant.
Yeah, these are the features that lift a message from just being functional to being really effective, really complete. Think of it as your quick check, your mental blueprint.
Okay, first point, format. Simple rule. Date, time, salutation, body, writer's name. Did you hit all those essential parts in the right places?
Just a quick scan confirms the structure's solid. Nothing critical is missing.
Second, tone. Mm-hmm. Rule. Polite and short. Is the message respectful? Does it get straight to the point without waffle?
Absolutely vital for how it's received and understood. Keeps it clear.
Third, language. Rule. Indirect speech, no quotes. Are you relaying the info accurately and concisely, not trying to perfectly transcribe a conversation?
Yeah, this confirms you're summarizing appropriately for a message format. Keeps it efficient.
And fourth, purpose. Rule. To pass along key info briefly, did your message actually do its job? Did it deliver all the essential info efficiently, maybe even answering likely questions up front?
This is the bottom line, isn't it? If your message ticks these four boxes, you haven't just sent information, you've delivered a brilliant message. You've respected the other person's time and made sure the information flows smoothly.
Exactly. And when you get these rules down, leaving a message isn't a chore anymore. It becomes this simple, almost automatic act of genuinely effective communication. Mm. It's such a small effort, really, but it has this huge impact on how smoothly your day runs and the days of the people around you.
It truly is a foundational skill. And when you master it, it can ripple outwards and improve so many other interactions, personal and professional.
So here's something to chew on, a final thought. How might taking these simple but really powerful principles of message writing, things like precise attribution, proactive clarity in the body, using indirect speech strategically, how might applying those improve all your daily communications, you know, from quick text to more formal emails? Could it help transform you into that brilliant communicator the source talks about?
That's a great question.
Maybe think about it. You might just find yourself dodging those confusing Alex moments much more often.